You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Tim McMaster, going around the American League East. It's become a two-team race for the division title with the Blue Jays and Yankees, but the Red Sox are playing some inspired baseball trying to climb out of the cellar. We kick things off this week checking in with Brian Hoke and the Yankees. Brian, it seems like this American League East race between the Blue Jays and the Yankees is going to go right down to the wire, and one reason on Tuesday night the Orioles continue to kind of be that spoiler. It seems like Buck Showalter teams, even once they get knocked out of the race, obviously they've struggled, but you know his teams are never going to quit. It's something about the way he is that this Orioles team, even though they're out of the race, do you expect them to continue to be a big part of the race as far as the Blue Jays and Yankees go?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think teams quit on Buck Showalter. I think there's a lot of pride there, and obviously anytime they go head-to-head with the Yankees, you know, there's a chip on the Orioles' shoulder. They enjoyed beating up on the Yankees so much over the last couple of years, and even though things don't look like they're going that way in Baltimore this year, I don't think that the Yankees look at Baltimore on the schedule, or really any of the American League East teams, and see a cakewalk there. It's interesting. The Yankees have actually played pretty well of late. They've won 8 of 11, and they haven't made up any ground in the East, and that's because Toronto's also won 8 out of 11. So, you know, it's a tough spot for them. They know that it's not like Toronto's just going to lose all their games and the Yankees just win one game and they're in. That's what Brendan Ryan was saying last night at his locker. They know they're going to have to win plenty of games to beat out Toronto. And, you know, as Alex Rodriguez said over the weekend, they don't even need to watch the scoreboard that much. They know there's a pretty good chance that Toronto's winning, so they better win too.
You mentioned Brendan Ryan. He made a dazzling play at third base on Tuesday night to start a double play. And obviously he's a guy who hasn't really hit with the Yankees. But when you're in a pennant race in September, how important is it to have a guy like that that you can throw in there defensively? And obviously he can play multiple positions and he's going to give you that great defensive play, because sometimes keeping runs off the board is as important as scoring them.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely important. I think what you need to remember is this time of the year, everybody's playing with aches and pains. You've seen guys go on the DL or would probably be on the DL in some cases, but are trying to play through it. And there's just a lot of guys in and out of that training room right now. And Ryan, because he started the year so late, he was hurt during spring training. Relatively speaking, he's fresh compared to a lot of the other guys on this team. So if he needs to go in and give Chase Headley a blow at third base, if he needs to fill in for Stephen Drew at second base, as you said, he can bounce all around the diamond. They've used him at first base. Obviously, he can play shortstop. He's a terrific shortstop. So to have a guy like that, and he's even pitched this year, to have a guy like that that you can kind of just slot in wherever you want. I think in Atlanta, Girardi even tried him in right field for a game. You know, those are important. They're not the multi-million-dollar, you know, huge contract guys, even though he is making more than $1 million. I think he's making two this year. Relatively speaking, on this Yankee roster, he is an interchangeable piece. He's the 24th or 25th man, but that's an important thing to have. And if he can contribute, whether it be on defense or get a big hit here or there, it's big for this team.
I think Yankees fans would prefer not to see him do any more pitching this season. But speaking of that pitching staff, and you mentioned injuries, and that's been a thing all year, obviously, with this rotation and guys staying healthy. Now, Nathan Eovaldi being shut down for 2 weeks. After that, he's going to have to work his way back. Do you see him getting on the mound during the regular season, or is it a situation where the Yankees are going to have to just put Eovaldi into a playoff game, not sure what they might get?
I'm not sure what they're going to do with him, but I think what we can rule out is that he's not going to pitch in a regular season. I think the fact that they're going to shut him down for 2 weeks and then it takes another 2 weeks to build back up to be in a situation where you could start again, I don't see that. I certainly don't see any way he could be starting by the end of the season, and that's assuming everything goes perfectly. So I think your best-case scenario, you're looking at Eovaldi now as a guy who might be coming on the bullpen in the first round of the playoffs. They're going to stretch out Adam Warren. He's going to rejoin the rotation, so they feel like they have some depth there. They can even go a six-man with Warren. They have Brian Mitchell around. CeCe Sabathia is coming off the disabled list, so that should help. But there's not two ways about it. Losing Eovaldi is a tough blow. This is a guy who had 14 wins. He's been one of their most consistent, reliable pitchers all year long, and now you're looking at a very real scenario where he's not going to start again this season. So that's tough to take, but the Yankees do feel like they have depth. They're so fortunate that Luis Severino has come up and been much more than I think anybody had any reason to expect. This kid came up. He's 21 years old, and he looks like he's been there for 5 years already. So that's huge for the Yankees, but they will miss Eovaldi, that's for sure.
Yeah, Eovaldi, the one guy who had kind of avoided that injury bug, and it catches up with him late. You mentioned CC Sabathia back in the rotation, kind of suddenly by necessity, right? I mean, they weren't sure what they were going to do with CC, but now with Eovaldi out, you kind of have to see what he can do as a starter.
I think there were no guarantees with CC. I think that he even knew at the time that he went on the DL, his season very realistically may be over. He was worried about it, but went in to get the test. The test showed that it was just inflammation, just like before. And, you know, he was very relieved when the doctors told him, all you have to do is take it easy for a little while. Maybe you put a brace on when you're back on the mound. But remember what got CC to that point. He was kind of holding back a little bit early in the season. Right-handed hitters were crushing him because he really wasn't attacking full force with what he had. The last four starts before he went on the DL, CC said, basically, forget it. I'm just going to throw all out, and whatever happens, happens. The results were better. He got hurt. So I think that now you're looking here early September, can you get another stretch here where CC can give you his all out for 3, 4, 5, 6 starts in a row? That takes you in October. I think that he's always been a guy who wants the ball. He never complains. I think what the Yankees are going to see when CC comes back, obviously no guarantees, but I think he's going to try to do what he did those four starts before he went on the DL. And if so, he was competitive in keeping the Yankees in game. So I know you look at his season numbers, they're ugly. But to me, I'm tempted to throw a lot of that out and just stick with the last four starts right before he went on the DL, because I think that's the CC that you're going to get. And if it should blow up again and he gets hurt, then so be it.
Gregor, I guess, first of all, this is obviously a team that continues to play great baseball down the stretch, heading into Wednesday night, a game and a half lead in the East over the Yankees, and more good news with Marcus Stroman seemingly ready to take the mound on Saturday against those Yankees. We've kind of been talking about this for some time now as he worked his way back. How confident is the team that he'll be the Marcus Stroman they would like him to be?
You know, they're certainly optimistic about it, but, you know, it's kind of impossible to say at this point in time. You know, it's just because the rehab schedule had to go, you know, probably a little bit quicker than most people would have liked, except for Stroman himself, because he was obviously eager to get back up. But normally this situation where you probably would have given him another rehab start, maybe even two in the minor leagues. But just with the way their season came to an end, first week of September, that's not really a luxury the Jays can afford at this point in time. So, you know, the best way to see what he has as a starter is to basically throw him out there now that he's had his pitch count elevated a little bit and see how he responds in those first couple of outings. But the timing for the Blue Jays actually is pretty good because, you know, they've had some issues in the rotation recently with just Mark Burley being, you know, a little banged up and a little fatigued. And then the fact that Drew Hutchinson has kind of continued to struggle a little bit. So there's a little bit of an opening there for Stroman. And if he's a guy who responds well down the stretch, you're talking about a guy who has the potential to be, you know, a frontline starter behind David Price in a team that hopes to be going to the postseason.
Now, the numbers for Stroman in his second rehab start on Monday weren't great. Is there any concern there, or he was happy with the stuff and just didn't really get the results?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, probably. You know, the one good thing that, you know, he touched on after that start was that it was a good thing for him to face a little bit of adversity. He got a little bit more, you know, working, throwing out of the stretch, you know, pitching with runners in scoring position, all things that he hadn't really faced when he was going through the simulated games. And then, you know, his first official rehab start with Class A Lansing was so far down low in the minor leagues that, you know, the hitters basically couldn't even touch him down there. So this was kind of the first real test for him with Buffalo. And it probably wasn't good that he had a little bit of issues because it did give him that, you know, a little bit more experience under his belt before coming up here. But, you know, it also does go to show on the other hand, though, that he's probably not quite as crisp and as sharp as he would like to be. And that shouldn't be surprising either because, I mean, you're talking about a guy who really has only been going through this at this pace for the last few weeks. Obviously, the rehab, there was an awful lot that went into that, but in terms of getting ready for, you know, big league games, it's really only been the last few weeks. So there's bound to be some rust along the way, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit at the big league level as well, but he's got a little bit of time to smooth it out, although he is getting thrown right into the fire with the very first start coming against the Yankees, the team that the Jays are obviously competing against for that AL East spot.
You mentioned Burley and the ERA near 7 over his last 4 starts. Had a cortisone shot in his shoulder on Tuesday. Is there any concern that he may not make it through the rest of the season?
No, I think there is a lot of concern. I think that's kind of why you're seeing the steps the Jays have been taking, not just this week, but going back a couple of weeks now. I mean, this is normally Burley's the workhorse guy that you don't really have to worry about. But, you know, he is getting up there in age, and we've seen some signs of fatigue. I'm not sure if he's hurt necessarily, but, I think he's certainly, as the Jays have kind of described, is banged up a little bit, and that just comes with wear and tear with all the innings that he has under his belt. And so before, really the last few weeks, the Jays were trying to buy him an extra day here and there. His last start before that, he was actually pushed back twice, trying to give him a couple of extra days. And now Stroman coming back kind of gives them the ability to just back him off even a little bit more. The concern is that, now you're kind of entering the stretch run. You can't back him off, or you don't want to back him off too much. And you kind of wonder what kind of shape he's going to be in when he comes back from that cortisone shot, because, he's a guy that you want to have available in the postseason as well. And when you're talking about less than a month to go in the year, if he's going to miss a little bit of time with the cortisone shot, you kind of hope he makes a quick recovery after that, because he's going to need to work out a few things in a couple of starts before October baseball rolls around.
There was a stretch during this season after Devin Travis went down where kind of the one weak link in that lineup, I think, was second base. But Ryan Goen suddenly on a bit of a tear. What have you seen from him? Has he made an adjustment that's made Ryan Goen's such a good hitter as of late, or is it just all clicking for him?
I've seen a completely different hitter, and it's remarkable, because to be perfectly honest with you, the run that he's been on for, over a month now, I didn't think he was capable of it. He's known as a glove-first kind of guy. He can put on a show in the field. But I just had never seen that ability or that upside with the bat. To me, it really comes down to his plate discipline. And normally that's a thing that you don't really teach at the big league level. You kind of think that by the time guys get to the major leagues, they kind of are what they are when it comes to that type of stuff. They're either free swingers or they're guys who have the ability to work a walk. You don't see too many examples of guys getting to the big leagues and then all of a sudden excelling, with their on-base percentage skyrocketing with walks and things when they didn't have that before. But what we've seen over the last 5-6 weeks with Goins is, his swing rate, the percentage of swings that he's making during at-bats has gone down dramatically. It's gone down, last time I checked earlier this week, it was down more than 12% compared to the way it was for the first part of his career. So he's seeing more pitches. And that's led to a really high on-base percentage. And then because of that, I think the byproduct of that has also been better overall at-bats. And he's swinging at better pitches. And so, therefore, you're seeing, the average and stuff bump up as well. But it's been a really remarkable run, and we'll see if he can actually keep it up. A lot of people will point to still a relatively small sample size. But what we've seen from him in the batter's box looks like a completely different guy than the one that Jays fans have been used to for the last 2.5 years.
The Red Sox suddenly look like maybe they're a third-place team in the AL East, Ian, when you look at the way things are going with the Rays and the Orioles. Is that clubhouse an optimistic place right now with the Red Sox?
I don't know if optimistic is the right word, but it's an energetic place. I mean, it's hard to argue with the way the team has played lately. You guys are playing with a lot more confidence, with a lot better success. Young players are starting to come into their own. And, like I've said many times, you never know when these young guys are going to click or if they're going to click. And it seems like a bunch of them are starting to click here together at the same time. And it's created a lot of late season fun because, last year at this time was quite depressing to be around the Red Sox. Not only was the team out of contention, they had sold off some key pieces of the deadline. And, the young guys last year weren't playing well except for Mookie Betts. So this is a lot more fun for everyone. Even guys like Dustin Pedroia and David Ortiz are now excited about what the near future holds for this Red Sox team.
When you talk about the young players, obviously you talk about the outfield, Betts and Jackie Bradley Jr., Rosny Castillo, and I've heard one nickname, which was the BBC. Is there anything else going around? Because at some point, the Red Sox marketing department has to kind of give these guys something, right? They need something to sell these players.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. Just let them go out there and create excitement by their play. And if a good nickname or catchphrase comes along, all the better. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun to watch these guys run around and catch the baseball. And you know, a game doesn't go by seemingly when somebody doesn't make a great play. Whether if it's not Bradley, it's Betts. If it's not Betts, it's Castillo. and if it's not the outfield, it's Xander Bogaerts making another great play at shortstop. So yeah, this has been a good run for the Red Sox these last few weeks.
You mentioned the effect on the veterans, and David Ortiz, red hot again. He's closing in on home run number 500 for his career. And he's another guy who's keeping this season interesting late and giving fans something to root for. Had a little scare last week. Looked like maybe he had injured himself on the base paths, but kind of pulled through that. Can he get to 500 here in September with still almost a month to go?
Well, yeah. I mean, Ortiz is at 497 right now, so he can do that, in a game or two maybe. So you just don't know. Like he had a great line earlier this year when we were in Seattle in the middle of May, and David hadn't hit many home runs at that point in the season. He hit one off Felix Hernandez that night, and he said, "Look, guys, but don't worry about me." He's like, "I'll clean up what he said," but he said, "My home runs come in bunches, like grapes. So my home runs are like grapes; they come in bunches." it's been very true lately. So yeah, certainly, David. I think it would be a major surprise at this point if he doesn't hit three home runs over the last nearly 3 weeks left in the season here.
Yeah, he's really been locked in. Dustin Pedroia returns to the lineup on Tuesday night. Obviously, it's been a tough few seasons for Pedroia. It seems like he can't avoid that injury bug. How big is it for him to have a nice finish here to the season as far as his psyche goes heading into next season?
Yeah, I think it's important. Look, Pedroia was having a really, really good year before this hamstring popped up. I mean, he was finally hitting for the power that he hadn't hit for since 2011. So he finally got over those hand injuries, and boom, one day he blew out his hamstring. It was an injury that was a lot more serious than anyone realized at the time. But it was a great time to see him out there last night, hitting a ball off the wall and turning a couple of nice double plays and getting pretty mad when Torrey Lovello took him out of the game after nine innings. When Pedroia is feeling feisty and competitive, that's when his body is feeling good. So yeah, I think it is important for Dustin to just get a little more momentum here going into the winter.
I know he's a lead by example guy a lot of times more than a rah-rah guy, but has he had an impact on all these young players this season, even when he's been out with the injury?
Yeah, I think it's impossible to be around Dustin Pedroia and not be impacted by him. I mean, this guy is just all team. I've never been around anybody quite like this guy, where he's just all team all the time. And he really cares deeply about the Red Sox. Throughout all the bad things that have happened to this team the past 3-4 years, have you ever once heard Dustin Pedroia say, "I don't want to be here"? So, it's just not many guys in sports in this day and age who have that kind of loyalty to a franchise and to a city and to a team like Pedroia has for this Red Sox team.
The other exciting thing that we've seen as far as the team goes is when you look at the rotation, you see Rick Porcello, another solid start on Monday. Really, he's been great from returning from the DL. He's throwing more sinkers since coming back. Is that by design? Is that something they worked on, or has that just been how these games have kind of worked out?
Yeah, when Porcello went on the DL with that triceps injury, he did some soul searching. He said, "Look, I got to where I got in this league by pounding guys in with my sinker." And he, for whatever reason, he had gotten too four-seam happy earlier in the season and kind of got completely out of his routine. Sometimes guys try to live up to a contract the first year with the new team, I think he realized he needs to get back to his roots. And some of the sinkers he's thrown the last couple starts have been some of the best sinkers he's ever thrown. So I think that DL, the triceps injury, was a blessing in disguise. And Porcello is now pitching like the guy the Red Sox signed for the next 4 years.
Yeah, it's been a rough September, obviously, Bill. And the weekend, losing 3 out of 4 over the Yankees, obviously tough. Heading into Wednesday, the Rays have dropped 5 of 6 overall. So the wild card possibilities seem to be drifting away, especially when a couple of tough games against the Tigers. Is there a feeling that maybe the playoffs have kind of passed this team by in 2015?
Well, they would never say it, but I would. I think the numbers just stack up too dramatically against them. In order for them to reach the playoffs at this point, you would be asking a 500 team basically to play 800 ball. And I just don't think they have what it takes to do that at this time of
Kevin Cash, I think everybody would agree his first season at the helm has been a success. And now maybe another challenge presents itself for him in his first year as you get into the late days of September here when, as you said, the team pretty much out of it as far as the playoffs go. So is the organization kind of looking closely to see how Kevin Cash handles this next hurdle in his career as he gets more and more comfortable as a manager dealing with a team that maybe doesn't have a lot to play for in these final few weeks?
I don't really think that's in play. They have things they want to get done. I'm sure there's some players they want to take a look at for next year. And again, they're still competing to try and win this thing, but it is going to come pretty, I think in the next week or so, we're going to see where, even they're going to have to admit it's over. But there's some players they'd probably like to see for next year. They've done really well, I think, this year for the hand they've been dealt with the injuries. And the team they thought they had coming out of spring training, or going into spring training, I should say. But, the injuries, I think they've had more than their share of injuries this year. And, every team has injuries, but I think theirs were a little more over the top than most.
Yeah, and the Rays sometimes, because of payroll and stuff, I know that it's sometimes tougher for them to deal with those injuries because of the depth factor. You mentioned guys that they want to take a look at. Nick Franklin has been called back up. Obviously a disappointing season for him early on, but now he comes back up to the team in September. How important is it for him to kind of get out there and finish strong? Because here's a guy who, has always been kind of a top prospect along the way, but it's time for him to kind of get it done at the major league level.
Well, Franklin got a slow start. He started the season on the disabled list with an oblique problem. And that oblique injury is just, it just kills you. So he got off to a bad start. And then when he finally joined the team, he really wasn't in his groove. I think he's probably the number one guy that the team probably would have liked to know more about this year. So, yeah, I think they'd like to see some in September. But, I don't know how much you're going to see. I think he will play some. But, who knows if that's a good enough look. I do think that, when you watch this guy play, you can see the talent. But, it's just going to be whether or not he can ever get to where he can consistently show that talent.
Yeah, I think people expect him to be that infielder who can hit for power and really help out a lineup for sure. Another guy that's been called up, Andrew Bilotti. He was great early in the season, kind of the opposite of Franklin, who was injured, obviously, early on. But then when Bilotti went down to AAA, he kind of struggled there. So is he going to get many chances here in September? What do you expect his role to be down the stretch?
Well, I think they'll look at him some, too. They had a pretty good look at him this year. And they were impressed with him. He fits some good ball with the Rays. I don't know what happened when he went back down to Durham. But they are pretty high on him. So I would imagine he'll get some innings in the last games.
While the team as a whole has kind of faded back a little bit, there's been some great individual performances here down the stretch from some guys. Asdrubal Cabrera is a guy who really heated up, and I think when you look at his numbers for a whole, he's gotten to the point now where you'd expect him to be, really hit well in August. Has it been neat to see a guy at this point in his career, a guy who is a former All-Star, he's really put it together at the plate here late in the year for the Rays?
He's been on fire, really. If you look back at his first 2 months of the season, he dug himself quite a hole. Really, since about June, he has really been coming on and just been red hot. So, Cash has always said, this guy, he likes the way he hits. I know, and a compliment to Cabrera too is Cash said that he never let the hitting interfere with his fielding. So, which I think is a nice compliment to his professionalism. But in talking to Derek Shelton, the hitting coach, he said that once this guy kind of starts barreling, they like to say barreling it up. Once he starts barreling it up, he's very good at keeping it, once he finds it, he's pretty good at keeping it for a prolonged period. And something that's really unusual is that he's able to do it from both sides. So, he's been what they thought he would be, I think.
The O's have dropped out of playoff contention, really barring an amazing turnaround in the final month of the season, Brittany, but they showed on Tuesday night they can still be a spoiler. And it seems like Buck Showalter managed teams are never going to kind of play out the string. They're always going to play hard till the end. And he seems to find a way to get his teams into that spoiler role, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, I think they'd like to be playing better than they're certainly have played over the last few weeks, but I don't expect this team to give up. Like you said, they're kind of a proud team. And again, keep in mind, they have a lot of free agents that are playing for next season as well. And so I think that this is a team that's going to try to at least play some 500 baseball to finish out the season.
Chris Davis with another big home run on Tuesday night, and he's had a big month of September so far. He's in one of those locked-in streaks again.
He is, and this is a pretty long streak for him. If you look over probably the last 12 days, he's really been locked in. And he's the guy that they have who they know can carry the team through stretches, and this has really been a time of need, and Chris Davis has delivered. I mean, twice over the last 7 days, he's given out a big win. And those have been really few and hard to come by over the last couple of weeks for that. So they've been able to look at Chris Davis, point to him as kind of a bright spot over this stretch. And you're Chris Davis, a guy who's set to hit the free agent market for the first time in his career. This surge cannot come at a better time. I mean, it is the end of the season. He's already eclipsed the 40 home run mark, got well over 100 RBIs. He's really, really making a name for himself and setting himself up quite well for a nice payday.
Yeah, and maybe unfortunately for Orioles fans, pricing himself out of their plans as far as the future goes. When you look at the struggles the team's had lately over the last few weeks where they've kind of fallen out of contention, is there anything specific you can kind of point to as the reason for the struggles?
This year?
Yeah.
I think it's a combination of things, honestly, Tim. I think Marquez and Nelson Cruz were two of their best on-base percentage guys. They let them go, didn't replace them. And so that's really contributed to some of the offensive struggles. They've always been a all-or-nothing type of offense, but it's really been a lot more of nothing than all, especially lately. And also on the pitching front, they relied on a lot of guys who had career years last year, such as Bud Norris, who won 16 games. Was so bad this year, they had to take him out of rotation, designate him for assignment. And Chris Tillman had a great year last year, really struggled in the first half of the season. Miguel Gonzalez wasn't the same guy. And they don't have a whole lot of other pitching options. They didn't have a lot of depth at AAA Norfolk, guys they felt confident inserting. So this season, the moves they made, or in previous years, those guys played over their heads, and really every guy who came off the team sparked the team. It didn't happen this year. And the band who kept under the radar, smaller type of signings, you know, the Travis Snyders, things like that. He didn't really work out. Everett Cabrera. These are guys who, in years past for the Orioles, could have been like a Steve Pierce type of guy. Really came out of nowhere, helped interject his club with a little bit of life, and that's puzzled in the case. So it's really been a combination of multiple different things.
When you look at the last week, Nolan Reimold, promoted on Sunday, comes through with a pair of hits and a home run. What did he take from the short stay that he had in AAA?
Well, you know, he was there for most of the year. So I think he kind of learned from that a little bit. And certainly when he was designated for assignment again and then cleared waivers, it was kind of understood that he was going to be back up here with this club. And he's had a hard road. You know, neck surgeries that have ended the season and back-to-back years. He's a guy who's always had that power potential. They always felt that it was there. It was just a matter of consistently putting it together. And it's been nice over the stretch. You know, the Orioles have been able to find him some consistent playing time. And he's trying to kind of make a name for himself and prove that despite all those health issues and really missing a large chunk of the last few years, that he can still be a guy that they can count on.
When J.J. Hardy went to the disabled list, I think the hope was he would come back and kind of help the charge to maybe the wild card and help this team get over the top. Obviously, kind of went the other way while he was out. But having him back, how important is it for him to kind of finish September strong looking ahead to 2016?
It's huge. And, you know, if you look at the Orioles record with J.J. Hardy starting versus him not, it kind of tells you how important it is for the Orioles to have him there. I know offensively, he hasn't really had the year that he wanted, but he's just so important to them defensively and just that quiet leadership that he brings to the clubhouse. And I think he's a guy who has been playing hurt for a while, similar to Adam Jones and a lot of other guys. a lot of nagging issues. Going on the disabled list, probably the best thing for him to do, even though he resisted it, didn't want to go. I think kind of healing up some of that stuff, it looks like, I know it's only been one game, but it looks like offensively, he seems to be taking a little bit better swing. So I think that he's a guy who wants to try and finish this season up strong. He knows his future is in Baltimore. He signed that extension last year, and he's chosen to stay here. And I think he's a little disappointed with how he was able to perform offensively. So I would imagine this winter, heading into spring training, kind of look at some conditioning issues, try and see if he can get stronger. And he's a guy who has had some injuries during his career. And if he can stay healthy, he's also capable of hitting 20 home runs for you. And he's done that before for the Orioles. So I think they're hoping he can revert back to be that guy in 2016.
This has been MLB.com Extra's look inside the American League East. Tune in again next week.